comes a calling, though. Now, sometimes in our calling, some look to those who have significant callings. People like missionaries, called you across the world. Maybe pastors of significant calling within the church community. Maybe those that are up front, you think, that's a significant call. But what you have is that all of us are called. Now, we don't preach a series on when God calls just for the select few amongst our community that will be called. Each of us are called. Each of us are called to a specific ministry and a specific role within and through the church. Some are significant. Some are smaller roles, but all significant and important within God's church. Without the small roles, the big roles, maybe don't work. Sometimes the smallest thing that you do can have the greatest impact in the kingdom of God. And that's where we're looking at today. You see, there's some people in the Bible that have large, almost lifetime roles. Old books written about them. We're thinking of people like Abraham and David, significant portions, significant roles. And they're often mentioned multiple times within the Bible in different books. Guys like David, significant calls. Jesus, most significant call and role within the Bible, referred throughout the entire thing. There's also a number of people that just pop up and appear in the Bible. People like Esther pop up and appear. They each play significant roles. People like Stephen, he was chosen as a deacon in the early church. He's almost chosen one chapter. The next chapter he preaches a sermon and then they kill him. Significant role. And he just kind of pops up and appears. People like Esau gives up his birthright. Isaac, people like Adam, he plays a significant role, but they're really only in a couple of chapters in the Bible. People like John the Baptizer, a significant role and calling, but it's still only small. He really only prepares the way for Jesus and preaches a couple of times. He's only captured a little bit of what the Bible calls. And one of the interesting characters that I want to look at today. In the growth group study, there's various characters in the Bible and people that you can look at. But one of them is Rahab. Now, Rahab lived in a city called Jericho. Very little is in fact known about her. And she's actually only really captured in one book of the Bible, Joshua chapter 2. It's mentioned a couple other times, but Joshua chapter 2 is where we get to know her. We don't know much about her. However, she plays a key role within the nation of Israel, even though she's not part of the nation of Israel when we meet her. She just seems to appear in the story. She just appears there. Now, to give you a bit of context of where we are, the nation of Israel have left Egypt, living in slavery for 400 years. Now, Moses is leading them out. They got stuck in the wilderness because of their disobedience for 40 years. And Moses has just died. He's just reiterated the law that he gave. And they're about to head into the promised land. They're about to take the promised land. They've had some battles and wins already. But this is a significant battle that they have coming at Jericho. So God's leading him. And so the first city is this heavy, fortified city, this stronghold of a city of Jericho. And this is where we get them. This is where we meet Rahab. There's something interesting about Rahab and what happened. The spies are sent out. So Joshua, who's the leader of the nation of Israel at this time, he sends two spies, two people to check out this city, to see what it's like, to hear what they're saying about the nation of Israel before they go into battle. And so he sends these two spies, and these two spies reach the town. And as the Bible records it in the start of Joshua chapter 2, as these two spies head into the town, now it seems like they head straight into this house of great names. Now Rahab was a prostitute. They head straight into there. Now some of you may be thinking, and I always get to this point and go, why did they go there? You realize that 40 years earlier, that God had just given them the law of Moses. That God had just laid out the laws and the principles of life in the way in which they meant to live. Now the life in which Rahab lived was against those laws. It contradicted those laws. And so why would these two spies enter into her house first? Why would they enter into her house? What are they doing? It contradicts what they believe. It contradicts the lifestyle in which God wants them to live. We pick up the passage here at Joshua chapter 2, verse 2. But someone told the king of Jericho, some Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent orders to Rahab, bring out the men who have come into your house. Rahab had hidden two men, but she replied, yes, the men were here earlier. I didn't know where they were from. They left the town at dusk as the gates were about to close. I don't know where they went. If you hurry, we can probably catch up with them. escape to the other country. She told them, hide there for 3 days and went searching for you. When they returned, you can go your own way. Before they left, the men told her, we'll be bound by oath. We have taken only if we follow these instructions. When we come into the land, we must leave this scarlet rope hanging from the window, which you let us down, and all your family members, your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your relatives must be here inside the house. If they go out into the street and are killed, it will not be our fault. But if anyone lays a hand on the people inside this house, we will accept the responsibility for their death. If you betray us, however, we are not bound by this oath in any way. I accept your terms, she replied, and she sent them on their way, leaving scarlet rope hanging from the window. And the spies went up to the hill country and stayed there 3 days, and the men who were chasing them searched everywhere along the road, but they finally returned without success. Then the two spies came down from the hill country, crossed the Jordan River, and reported to Joshua all that had happened. The Lord has given us the whole land, they said, for all the people in the land are terrified. Terrifying. That's an interesting little section. You would have seen the rope going up if you were looking at the Bible. Now, it's an interesting image that comes in this passage. It's related to this rope that seems to be. Now, whenever the Bible gives detail of specific colors or things, we take notice. And the Bible says twice here this idea of a scarlet rope. Think about that as we continue. Now, what's interesting as well is that Rahab knows the Lord in which they follow. She's heard of God. See, God works through the nation of Israel, through the Israelites, but he also works, amongst other things, through words that just get spread throughout the land. You see, what Rahab says is that, I know the Lord has given you this land. The Lord your God is supreme God with heavens above and the earth below. It's interesting. This is someone who's not part of God's family. This is someone who's not part of God's promise. She's living a life that is in contrast to God's law. And yet here is someone that's gone, I know God. Did God speak to her beforehand? Did God miraculously call her? Maybe. But maybe she just heard what God was doing. She's heard amongst the people. And she recognized God. She recognized God not only as God, but God as the Lord of all other gods. The supreme God of the heavens above and the earth below. She said, then we see that the Lord has given us land. See, she recognizes who God is. And sometimes we have to do that in order to be used by God. Recognize first who God is, the God in which we follow. We don't have to fully understand the God. She wouldn't have been given the law that they received. She wouldn't have understood the depths and the history of who God is. But simply, she first recognized She obviously hadn't changed her ways. And clearly her occupation was still her occupation. She hadn't changed her ways. We actually find her lying to save the spies in him. Did God call her to lie and contradict what he's doing? You see, she lies to the king of Jericho and the people that are going to send. He said, they went on their way. She's clearly not exactly like God. She's clearly still a sinner. There's something that God uses her. And it's through her obedience. She didn't have to fully understand the depths of God, but she was obedient to what God was doing. Obedient to his word. scarlet and red. Chapter 7, we see that God instructs the people to go march around the city. So they get in, they march around the city, and for 6 days they march once around the city. And then on the seventh day, they had trumpet horns or ram horns, and then with the Ark of the Covenant, they shout in the walls. Story. But if you've been in Sunday school, you hear this story a few times. The walls fall down. But what you probably don't think about is that, remember, Rahab lives in the walls. And yet she is spared. Every time that they would have walked around the city, they would have seen the red rope hanging out the window, hanging over the side of the wall somewhere. Maybe it was off the roof. But they saw this red robe, and for the nation of Israel, every time they would have walked around it, it was a reminder that God was going to save them, that God was going to give them the city, that God was leading them to the city. And so then on the seventh day, they walked around it seven times, reminding themselves. And then as the walls fall down, now we expect all the walls fall down. Maybe a section fell down and it doesn't actually specify. But we expect all the walls fall down except the Rahab tent. Is that not God giving them into that land? They would have seen it as the nation of Israel. All the walls fall down except for this one that has the red rope hanging right on the side of the wall. You see, God saved. Saved through her obedience to God's call. She didn't have to do anything significant. It was a simple act that saved her family, that everyone in the household was saved. Everyone in the house was saved through her obedience. So it's interesting. We have a prostitute listening to God, a sinner listening to God, obedient to God's call. There's no record of miraculous call. Maybe just thought this was the right thing. But that was God. That was God. That was God calling her to serve Him. So there might be little thoughts, little directions, little actions in which we have throughout the week that God is in fact using them to call us to serve. And for some of us, that may turn into a significant purpose or a significant call. For Rahab, she was obedient to God's call in a simple way. For that simple way, salvation, God taking back the promised land. So significant, this simple call is that she is mentioned in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Some of you may be thinking, oh, well, okay, she's mentioned again in the Bible. No, she's mentioned. This is almost like the hall of faith. Like those people in the Bible that you think, okay, these are the legends. The hall of faith. Hebrews 11. If you're mentioned in that, you clearly play a significant role. And here is someone like Rahab, a sinner, mentioned in here, significant to God. Hebrews 11. And she follows after guys like David and Abraham and says, it was by faith that Rahab, the prostitute, was not destroyed with the people in mercy who refused to obey God. She had given a friendly welcome to the spies. She welcomed the spies. And her obedience, as in the old covenant, was credited to her as faith. Her obedience to some of the spies, whether that was credited to her by the blood of Jesus, was faith. Simple things. Simple things serving the purpose of God. And some of us today may have